Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alonso. Listen to our choir and our orchestra. A message in itself. God has a message for you this evening. Make sure you stay tuned. How to have God's life living in you. Part 119. This is program 221. Stay tuned to get out. Four different ways that you can receive a copy of today's message. You can order this CD that you hear, conducted by H.C. Barnum and his choir and orchestra. You can hear music like this at our church at 1313 6 Sierra Highway in Saugus, California. Every night, 8 o'clock on Sunday. 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock. We serve meals after each service. Come up and worship the Lord with us. We have some letters and a message directly from the throne of the living God for you. So stay tuned. We're just about ready to go. But first, I need to get up to the throne, and you get up to the throne with me. And let's all pray that God will anoint this service. Praise the Lord. Isn't that music wonderful? These are the things that we don't sell any gospel material that we have or Bibles or anything like that, but because these masters that we have, you can look at and listen to bits and pieces of them on our website, and Sharon will give you the four different ways that you can receive a copy of it at the end of the program, and you can look up the website there too and get a copy of today's message. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and invite Him or ask Him, plead with Him to, as I know He wants to, anoint this service, Father. Send down the kingdom of heaven and let it flow through me into the hearts and souls of everyone in Radio Land, saved and those that are lost, that they may become born-again Christians in these very last moments of time. Lord, we know that even the people in observatories that are constantly surveying the sky day and night, they say that there are many meteorites coming to this planet, and very soon many have already struck the planet. He said these things are happening on a daily basis. Of course, we can't see them. They're so high up, but they are definitely hitting the earth. And the Bible, the book of Revelation, tells us, Lord, that you're going to send one so huge, it's like a major mountain, that it's going to actually smash into the sea and cause a tsunami that's going to cover one half the United States of America. And we need to get right with the Lord, Father, so let your spirit, your word flow through me and into the whole of the listening audience, that they may be saved and strengthened before it's everlastingly too late. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Uganda.
Okay.
Dear Brother Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, love, knowledge, and wisdom abide with you as you continue giving services to God's people. I would like to thank you for the wonderful vision which God enlightened you with, which is really changing a lot of people all over the world. I would like to thank you for your literature which you posted to me. Indeed, your literature seems to have a magnet in it, because whoever reads it becomes a changed person.
Why, that magnet is the Holy Spirit, and it comes right from God. It's directly from Him, just as these radio programs are. And I hope this person is listening to the radio program there. We're on the air everywhere in the world now, and you can receive the different call letters and numbers of the AM stations and the shortwave also that we're on by just calling us. All this information will be given at the end of the service. Okay, then what?
Many people are saved through reading your literature.
Amen.
You posted me your literature, which contained newsletters and the book entitled The Messiah. I read the book Messiah, and I really got helped spiritually.
See, all this is from the Lord. Then what?
After finishing that book, I gave it to a friend, and currently there are many brothers who are interested to read and distribute your newsletters to people in markets, prisons, hospitals, and schools. Your literature has made me decide the following in my mind. I have accepted you as my pastor, and I have accepted to study under you to achieve more from you of what God really wants. I and my family read the literature and have accepted to be members of the church. I request that when you plan for your church, do have plans for the church in Uganda also. Many brothers pray that the literature they have read makes them members and real disciples of Pastor Alamo.
Rather, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll definitely work as the Lord works through me to be your pastor. Then what?
In addition to that, you told me that you could send T-shirts to those supplying your literature.
Mm-hmm.
I would request, if so, to send them to me, for I have stood firm in talk about the literature and in its saving power that it contains. I wish also to request for more literature to be supplied to people. I have a team of 5 people who have come up with the spirit of interest to serve. Lastly, I request you to send me 5 Bibles for use in the expansion of God's work. I hope the Almighty God will continue to bless you as you continue serving God's people worldwide. I remain your brother and disciple, Boniface, from Mbale, Uganda.
Praise the Lord. Next letter, where is it from?
From India. Dear Precious,
what part of India?
It is from Jagamapeta, Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Dear Precious Brother and World Pastor Tony Alamo, holy salutations to you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I trust you are all doing well and enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Thank you kindly for world newsletters, the booklet The Messiah, and your letter. My family members and congregation are busy in distributing world newsletters. Your literature did strengthen us more deeply in Jesus Christ. After reading through your literature, many non-Christian families have come to know their real Savior and become saved. Please kindly send us world newsletters regularly. We're very happy to know about your broadcasting corporation on Sundays at 9:30 a.m.
What's on Sundays over there in India and Africa? Sometimes it's on Saturdays, but in the United States, it's on every day. Canada, I think it's Central and South America. And Mexico. And what else?
We believe that we will be blessed by listening to it. Thank you kindly for joining me with the Lord's Compassionate Soul-Winning Church believers and team. Most of our surrounding people are poor. They cannot speak or read English language. I request you to send the literature in Telugu and also Telugu Bibles. We love you. We pray for you. So please kindly pray for our ministry. Humbly in Jesus Christ, Brother David from Jagamapeta, Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay, well, Dawn, you're the one that has this language printed up in India, and make sure that you do it. Bibles, a lot more Bibles and a lot more literature. And then anything else?
Yes, from Ghana. Dear Pastor Alamo, warmest greetings from me and the entire members of your fellowship here. The Bibles and biblical literature you sent to me have been received. In fact, your newsletter is greatly changing many lives in my town. I distributed the Bibles and the literature to many people, and whoever had the opportunity to receive one surrendered his or her life to Christ. But like Oliver Twist, they were asking for more, especially the Messiah and the Holy Bibles, as there were not enough to be received from as many people. I entreat you to give us more copies.
Oh, as many as you like. Just let me know. How many does he want?
He doesn't say.
He doesn't say. Well, send him some more. I give me a report on how many has been sent to him already, and if it's 5 or 10,000, then double up on him. Or if it's 1,000, send him 10,000 or 5,000, something. Okay, then I'll keep him busy.
I want to receive your ministry's T-shirt and sweatshirt as you inquired for me in your letter. I prefer the white color, size large. It is also my wish that I would one day come and visit your ministry, and likewise you come to visit mine.
That would be nice. Then what?
May the Heavenly Father reward you abundantly for promoting the gospel even to the remote areas in the world. Hoping to hear from you soon, yours in Christ, Adonai, from Suma Ahenko, Ghana.
Well, the greatest compliment in the world is for the Lord God to ask you to promote for him, because I was considered the best promoter in the world, a person that really knows how to. I don't understand the language of these new marketing experts. I mean, I start reading some of their stuff and I can't even understand it, you know, but yet I know how to do it better than they do, and it's like in the university they teach that. But I was asked to do the promotion for the President of the United States. The whole Kennedy group came down to see me, Walter Winchell, Ted Chirac, and all those, and several people downtown Los Angeles that I went to see. They wanted me to do the promotion for the entire, or the marketing for the entire Democratic Party. And so when the Lord visited me in the office, I was trying to argue with the Lord. Well, you know, I don't. He was telling me to get up and tell the people in the room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again real soon. Either do it or you're going to die and go to hell. And there was a whole entourage of people. I had a campaign going where I was doing a promotion for this rock and roll singer. And there was, part of the entourage was six Los Angeles motorcycle police, and they had their, they were off-duty police officers. They had their motorcycles outside. We call them bikes. And we had limousines, chauffeur-driven stretch limos, with the singer and myself in the back. And wherever we go, we'd run lights and play, run our sirens and everything. And all these people, with a barber and a nurse and somebody to light our cigarettes back then, because I smoked, and someone to open the door for us, and another person to roll out a red carpet, another one to spray us with cologne, another one to sprinkle flowers, rose petals in front of us when we get out. It was just similar to a Gorgeous George type promo that I was doing for this singer, and we were hitting on the charts number one in every place that I released one of his records, and I had released about six of them, and they all hit number one in different areas, and they hit number one within a day. And the Lord talked to me in the office when this attorney wanted to invest, and a few movie stars wanted to invest in this singer. And when I was in there, the Lord told me, I closed off my ears, in my natural ears, and I couldn't hear a thing. We were only one floor up in the Beverly Hills office. And I could hear the windows were open. It was a beautiful day. And I could hear traffic outside, and all of a sudden I couldn't hear traffic. And I couldn't hear the rustling of these motorcycle cops in the office and all the rest of this entourage. There was about 19 or 20 of us, and my attorney and his wife was there, and then this attorney that was interested, and these motion picture stars were there. And here my ears go off, and I could hear this voice going throughout my whole body. It was like a real metallic sounding voice. And it was going through my arms, my legs, my chest, my feet, my every place, my toes, my fingers. And it was saying, "I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die." And I thought, well, everybody calls me a genius, and I hear the geniuses flip out, and I know that I guess I'm crazy. And so I've heard of some of them that have done this, like this artist that cut off his ear and sent it, put it in an envelope and sent it to his girlfriend. And then this friend of mine, Don Gibson, who wrote I Can't Stop Loving You and a lot of other major hits, Oh Lonesome Me and so many, one for Patsy Cline. They even did a movie over, do you remember what the name of that song was? I can't even remember. But anyway, he was a friend of mine, and he went to Camarillo or some mental institution for a while, and everybody thought they were great and everything, so I didn't think it was really that bad to flip out, because I figured I'm in the same genius category, because even the President of the United States wants me to do stuff for him, and I'm the one that started the 20 original hits you can't buy in the store, you got to call up on the phone, and Time, Life, Warner has copied me, and so did before that, KTEL Records. Even Disney, Buena Vista Films, wanted me to. I came to them with an idea, and they said it was to paint murals on the walls of children's bedrooms and Dutch Holland kitchens and tropical fish bathrooms and murals in dining rooms of Japanese cherry trees and all this, and send a Disney artist right into the people's homes and charge them $1,000 a room. All we had to do was 1,000 rooms, and that'd be $1 million a day. And that wouldn't have been a big deal, because I told the attorney of Buena Vista that if I'd be able to use some of their cuts from Fantasia and other motion pictures, and then have announcer advertising this product on television, they flipped over it. And they said, come back the next day, and he'll give me an answer, because he had a meeting with Walt Disney himself. And I was only about 19 years old at the time. And so they says, Tony, he says, you know, this Walt was afraid that, he says, he loves the idea, it's fantastic, and he believes it would make millions of dollars. He said, but, he said, they release Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs every 7 years, and they make $1 million profit. This could make $1 million a day. And I just couldn't understand why they would, this was more powerful than even their movies were doing. And this would make $1 million a day in the Los Angeles area, because we could do it on time payment, where you just pay a couple of $100 down and so much a month if they were homeowners. And so I says, when I went in there, he says, we're just afraid, you know, we want to keep the Snow White image over here at Buena Vista. And what we want to do also is we're afraid that there'll be some salesmen going to the door to door and things like that after, when they get television leads and radio leads from the ads, and that they would tell the people, you know, they get like a lifetime of groceries at Safeway or Ralph's or something like that in L.A., and they were afraid of that, and they also were afraid that the children would drink some of the paint while they were there, and they just didn't want that kind. But they said, you gave us the idea for wallpaper, Disneyland wallpaper, and says, we'll give you a cut of that for as long as you live, and even after you live, we'll give it to your children. And I said, man, you guys are so stinking Mickey Mouse. And I got really upset, and I was just a young kid, only 19 years old, and I walked out. I said, forget it. I mean, what do you get? Like, would I get a 2 or 5 cent royalty for each roll of wallpaper or something? I said, you know, you're talking about $1 million. That is $365 billion a day. You could be insured by Lloyd's of London in the event that anybody drank paint or somebody misrepresented you. We just can't do it. Tony, no, Walt doesn't want to do. So I just walked out, and here I don't get any money for the Walt Disney wallpaper. And one day when we were in the ministry for about 12 years or 15 years, somewhere in there, we adopted this little kid because his mother ran off from him, old Benji, and Susie wanted to fix a little room for him that we had upstairs. And so she was fixing it up, and I walked in there, and here's this Disneyland wallpaper on the wall, and I said, Susie, you don't know, you just shattered me. But anyway, I know how to do all these things, and it was really a compliment. When the Lord was telling me all these things in the office, finally, after the third time, he started pulling the breath in and out of my body. After he told me, he says, doubt not, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up in this room and tell the people in this room, stand up on your feet and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And then he opened up my mind, and I knew, I don't know how I knew, he just gave me the faith to know that there's a heaven and a hell. And I could, then this power came down upon me. And I knew his intelligence, that he knew every single hair on everybody's head. And not on your head, on your arms and legs and every other part of your body. He knows every mole. He knew every fiber of dust in the carpet and every strand in the carpet of everybody's place. This God is the most incredible intelligence that you could ever imagine. No one can imagine how intelligent he is. And he's aware of everything that everybody thinks at the same time. Nobody can comprehend that kind of intelligence. And so he started pulling the breath in and out of me when I tried to get out of the room, because I figured I was really flipping out. And I figured if there's a God, there's the Satan. And if this is Satan, I mean, I'm going to make a fool of myself. I'm going to start talking, telling these people about Jesus right in the middle of a business meeting. And they're going to send for the people from the state insane asylum and come in here and put butterfly nets over my head and put me in a straitjacket and carry me off. Now, I didn't mind checking into a mental institution, a private one, you know, and show them I've got some money here and here's my wallet. And, you know, I'll go in and make a few wallets and do some finger painting and string beads or whatever they do in there to rehabilitate you. And then everything will be cool, you know, pretty soon I'll straighten out. And then people will say, well, he was in there because he was a genius and he flipped out. But then when I started to get out the door, the breath went in and out of my body, and I knew that he was going to drop me dead right there on the floor. After I told him, I'll tell him tomorrow, I'll send wires, cables, I'll get him on the phone, but don't make me tell him now because they're going to think I'm crazy. And that's when he started. He says, tell him now. So I said, God is telling me to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again, okay? And then the breath started going out of my body again, in and out. And he says, I said, what's the matter, Lord? I didn't even have to say it out because I knew he knew everything I was thinking. He put down like a before my eyes, a crystal condensed version of different promotions I did in my life. Hi there, this is Earl McDaniel with the most fantastic record offer of all time. 20 smash hits on one big album for only $2.98. And before that, this is the American Hell Studios in silhouette figure form. Add more inches onto your arm, you young men. And ladies, you know, you can take 3, 4, 5, 6 inches off your waist and add so much onto your chest, etc., etc. And then the other ones, here's Bobby Jamison, the world's next phenomenon. And here's you're telling everybody that he's a phenomenon. And now that you know that I'm up here and that I have the power to pull the breath out of your body, that's all you're going to say is, well, you guys, you know that I never believed in God, and God's telling me that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. He says, and I thought to myself, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, there isn't anything that matters in this world except you, because you have the power. These people here, it would be embarrassing for me to say it, but when it gets right down to it, it's even going to be more embarrassing for me to drop dead in front of them if I don't do what you say, and then for them to pick me up, and everybody knows what happens when you die, right in front of everybody. I've seen people drop dead on sidewalks, and the first thing that happens is they bounce on the sidewalk, and their bladder releases, and it's all over the sidewalk, and all the body fluids start coming out of them, and it's a nasty looking sight. And I said, I don't recall, you know, I've never read the Bible before, and I didn't know how to convince them. He says, now convince these people that I'm talking to you. And so my mind was racing to remember anything that I've seen. I never went to church, really. I just go in there and once in a while when my mother would take me, and I wouldn't pay any attention to anything that's going on. And she'd go one day to a Catholic church, and about a year or two later, she'd take me somewhere else. I remember this movie that I walked into. I was bored. There was nothing to do in New York. And I saw this movie, Elmer Gantry, and I said, oh, that sounds like a good old Southern movie, you know, Elmer Gantry. I didn't know what it was. I paid my tuition. I went in there. And I heard this guy said, oh, Jesus, believe in Jesus. And I said, oh, my God, I'm Jewish, you know. And I just got right back up and walked out, and I heard him say, repent, repent. And so I says, that must be it, you know. And so I started telling everybody in that office, repent. Get down on your knees. Ask Jesus that Jesus is coming back to earth again. And I started saying that real loud, and I was doubling up my fists, and all of them were looking at me, and I thought, you know, everybody's going to go crazy. And when I did that, the little attorney, he was a Jewish guy behind the desk, and my hearing started coming back. He says, get him out of here. He's Mashigana. That means I'm crazy. And I thought, well, you weasel, you know, you're the one that begged me to come over here. If I'm so crazy, how did I hype you out of your skull to the point to where you wanted to see me? And he says, get him out, get him out. And I thought to myself, yeah, if I was him, I'd not only want to have somebody throw me out, I would grab the person and throw him out the window. We're only one floor up. Because, you know, they thought I was really ungluing in front of them. And that wasn't the case. The Lord Spirit, the Spirit of the Kingdom of Heaven, was coming down visiting me and wanted me to do this. So my hearing coming back, and I heard this, and the Lord said, that's enough. So I just walked out of the office, and all this entourage followed me. And there was no elevator. We were just one floor up, and I walked down the steps. And here the limousine and all the bikes were out there, and all the other cars that the entourage followed us, and I said, so you guys all get in your vehicles and take off, and I'm going to, you know, go by myself. I just want to walk. And Big Jim, who now, or I don't know if he still drives car for, I got him a job driving car with Cher, and Sonny and Cher, and then they divorced. And so he says, come on, Tony. He's a big guy. He tried to get me into the car, and I says, no, Jim, no, leave me alone. Otherwise, I'm going to have the baseball bat brigade come and get you. Now, there's some goons in Hollywood that I knew back then that would do anything I told them to do. If anybody was bugging me, they would come if I just call them and pay them. And I says, I'll have your head split into 31 different flavors. Well, people don't know this side of me because I've been saved for almost 42 years, and if I was still that way, there would be a lot of people that have bothered me since I've been in the ministry, and they wouldn't be bothering me anymore if I was that type of person still. And at that time, I did a promotion. I did a promotion for Pete Best of the Beatles, and he gave me a Beatles album, which I still own to this day. And I've been told that it could produce $50 to $100 million if I sold it. And Susie told me, don't ever sell that, because people will eventually say, because God is going to make you grow all over the world, and people will start saying that you're in the ministry for the money. So she says, never sell that. And you can use that to tell people that you're really of the Lord. And so that is so much for that. And I don't know what triggered off me telling my testimony, a little bit of it, but go ahead, read what you read before, and I'll see what's there. Harriet.
In the lives that God created, nothing can ever work when it is removed from the original kingdom environment for which it was designed.
No, in other words, God made a kingdom of fish. You take a fish out of the water, and it can't live. You see it flopping all over the place. And birds, God gave wings unto them and feathers, and they can fly. It'll live if you take it out of the environment, but you have to. It doesn't have to fly, but it can. And then animals, they have their kingdom, and human beings have their kingdom. And so it's an environment. All these are environments that the Lord created for all fish, fowl, animals, and humans. Then what?
The fish kingdom, out of which, if a fish is out of water, it will quickly suffocate. A human being...
Suffocate and die. Then what?
A human being underwater without special breathing materials or apparatus will soon drown. So what happened is the Lord has created a world especially for humans, a sea especially for fish, and the air especially for birds.
Right, and he created a kingdom. All of humanity has fallen away from the Lord because our original parents, Adam and Eve, they sinned, and because of that, all their children was born in sin, in darkness, and we were all born into the kingdom of darkness, and we can't help it. We don't know anything but what we were raised in, and so we have to, the Lord's purpose was, when he came into this world, was to do everything that cause us to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so he didn't sin all his life. He was a perfect baby, a perfect boy, a perfect young adult, and he reached his complete adulthood and full maturity, and then he became the Messiah. Then he was placed in the ministry. And so this was the environment. Now the Lord wants us to come out of this environment that we've been born into, and for us to enter the environment of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Okay, keep going.
One of the main principles of a creation is that wherever God creates something, he fixes it or designs it according to its reason or purpose and intention, what it's intended for, and an environment that makes it possible for that particular portion of God's creation to live.
Right. Now, fish cannot rule the world, and birds cannot rule the earth. They were never given the ability to be able to do that. And cows, cattle, and all different animals, no animal, dogs, cats, they can't rule the earth. But God gave human beings the capacity and the spirit, he made them a living soul and gave them authority over everything that he had created, including the fish, the fowl, the cattle, the cats, the dogs, the worms, everything. And he also gave us the power to be able to reconstruct different areas of the earth, like to build dams, do everything that we do now after the fall. Man didn't even work before the fall. He didn't have to. All right, then what?
In other words, when God created birds to fly, he gave them wings and a reason to fly. When God created fish, he created them to swim. He put them in an environment and gave them the ability to swim and gave them gills so they could breathe in water. When God created mankind to have dominion over the earth, He imparted to us the ability to govern, rule, lead, and manage the earth, its creatures and resources. We who are the leaders, the authorities that God has chosen in this world, are called to lead.
And right, but God always has one leader. He doesn't have everybody in a congregation is not a leader. There are rams, like when if you read the book of Enoch, which is a book that the Vatican never allowed to be in the Bible. There are four books of Enoch, and the visions that he received was that there would be two rams that would come, and there would be a lot of sheep that would be in Egypt, God's people, and that these two rams would lead the sheep out of Egypt, and that they would be on the desert for, they'd come to the sea, the Red Sea, and that God would open the sea and let them through. This was a vision that was written in the book of Enoch, one of the books of Enoch, many years before Moses ever came on the scene, many years before the Hebrew, before Abraham, before Isaac and Jacob, and the tribes of Israel, and Moses, who would lead them out of Egypt. And Enoch saw this. Enoch was one of the greatest prophets of all time, and he prophesied all these things well before they ever happened. And then some people will say, well, anyone that preaches any doctrine that was not in the Bible, let him be accursed. Well, this was in the Bible. Many of the man Enoch and his statements are not only mentioned by Paul and others, but it was even mentioned by Jesus, some of the statements Enoch made. All right, and Enoch is on earth right now. He's one of the two witnesses, and his wife is the other one. Some people say, well, it would be Elijah. No, Jesus said John the Baptist was Elijah. The reason that Enoch had to come back and Elijah had to come back was because it's appointed unto every man to die. Everybody has to die. Even the Lord had to die. And after death, the judgment. So Enoch is here on earth. We're living in the last days. And he and his wife will be the two witnesses. All right, then what?
The Lord wants us to rule by his word over ourselves. He wants us to first rule over ourselves and then follow his rulership.
I'm saying that in a text that probably you wouldn't understand, but he wants everyone to allow Jesus with his Father by the Spirit to rule over us. In other words, we have to discipline ourselves, to be disciplined by Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And so he doesn't want us to, we have to rule ourselves to the point that we choose the will of God to rule us rather than our own will or the will of the powers of darkness. So it has to be us that does that. Okay, then what?
He wants us to first rule over ourselves and then follow his rulership by his tutors, governors, his prophets, teachers, preachers, and evangelists, and so on.
And by his Spirit. All those that walk in the Spirit of the Lord are ruled by the Lord. And it's a voluntary thing. God never makes you do it. He tells you the right way to go, and then you do it, or otherwise you don't make it into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Lord spoke to me and told me what to do back in 1964. And so we're at 2006 now. So in September, that'll be 42 years for me in the ministry. And the Lord has led me all these years, and nothing has ever happened to me that has destroyed me, right? And it never will, because I intend to stay in the Spirit. And I have to, strong as the Spirit of the Lord is in me, I still have to choose to be led by the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, or I would never have made it to this point. Because I've been through a lot of things that I know that most people couldn't go through because they don't have the power of God in them to go through it. I've seen people fall over the most insane things. They fell away from the Lord because somebody didn't cater to them as much as they wanted them to, or they didn't get what they wanted, or they figured that they're giving up something so important in this world, and they forfeit the kingdom of heaven and all of the blessings that the Lord gives those for being in the commonwealth of the Lord. They give up healing. They give up everything that the commonwealth has. Heaven, eternal life. They give up communication with the Lord and their ability for the Lord to communicate back to them. And they give up everything. Prosperity. They give up defense. The Lord defends those that are in him, and that no one can harm any hair on their head. And it doesn't matter if the devil, you know, our bodies die, but we're in a twinkling of an eye right there in paradise. We're in the kingdom of God. Okay, now, so, you know, it's worth it for us to rule, allow God to rule over us, and we have to choose to do that. If we're just doing whatever we want to, we know that it's not God ruling over us. If you're going through every day, and a lot of the day you don't even know, concentrate on the Lord, then you're not being ruled by the Lord. You haven't chosen to do that yet. You haven't given yourself completely over to him. And so if you want to enter heaven, you have to do that, because the way is straight and narrow, and the original Greek states that we have to squeeze. It's so narrow that we have to squeeze and press on. Just push our way into the kingdom of heaven. So it's an effort on our part. And these people that are preaching that we don't have to do anything to get into the kingdom of heaven, that Jesus has done it all, they're liars and they're Satan. Either that, or they certainly, the words they're saying are definitely from the devil. Okay, then what else? Or that God loves you unconditionally. No, there's every condition in the world that you have to keep of the Lord in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, because if you break one law, you've broken them all. All right, then what?
God wants us to be governed by his rulers.
His rulers that are governed by him, until you reach an age of maturity to where you are totally ruled by the Lord. Okay. Then what?
We are designed to manage ourselves according to the Word of God.
Well, when you're doing it according to the Word of God, then you're disciplined by the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, and it's our life. All right? So that's what I mean. Then what?
We are designed to manage ourselves according to the Word of God, not to be managed by worldly powers.
Right, by which is our own selves. When everybody's preaching, like, we've got to do this for ourselves. You have to do it for yourself. You have to be yourself. You just be yourself. The Lord doesn't want you to be yourself. You should dedicate your body, give it to your whole body, surrender it as a gift to the Lord, because the Lord gave his body for us. He shed his blood for us. And it's our duty, it's our reasonable duty to allow to give our bodies as a gift to the Lord. And when you give something to somebody, you never take it back, because it's a gift to them. And the person that you give it to, your body to, and your heart and your soul to, can use it any way that he wants to, because it's his now. If I give you a new automobile, I can't I give you the keys to it. It's yours to drive. If I give you a box of candy, it's yours to eat, or throw in the trash, or give to somebody else if you want. And if you give your body to the Lord, he has a special purpose for it. And everybody has the purpose that the Lord gives them. one of the purposes is that we have to be witnesses for the Lord. We have to be living witnesses. We have to live, let the Lord live out his life in and through us. Okay, then what?
We are designed to be led by the Holy Spirit and not to follow those who are carnal.
Not to be carnal, for us not to be carnal at all. Then what?
Whenever anyone of the world tries to tell us what to do, unless they are in a legitimate position of authority given by the law, there arises in
us... By the carnal law. In other words, they'll tell you, pull you over, and they'll tell you, okay, we're going to give you a ticket. And even if you were not violating the law, you could tell them, well, I looked at my speedometer, and it said that I was only doing 35 in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. Then they say, no, you were doing 50. Well, sir, I'm not going to argue. The Bible tells me that I'm to agree with you quickly, and so I'll just take the ticket and go, if you'll let me. Okay? Now, that's no big deal to do. And you just let them give you the ticket and go and argue it out in court. Okay, then what else? It at least shows that you're a mild-mannered person. You're not dangerous. You're not going to freak out on people just because I'm of the kingdom of God. And like that courage, what's her name? She just went into nightclubs and bars and everything with a pickaxe, and she started breaking all the bottles in the place in New York and around New Jersey and stuff. That is not prohibited, you're not to do that according to the Lord. Okay? You're not to break the place up. You're supposed to preach the gospel to them and put your pickaxes down. Amen?
Amen.
Or if it's a homosexual den of iniquity, you're not supposed to go in there and blow them up and burn them down. Even if it's an abortion parlor, you're not to go in there and blow it off the map. You're to preach the gospel to the people. And then if they willingly, wantonly, and knowingly commit abortion, the law of the land says they're going to get by with it. But they're going to stand judgment before the great white throne on Judgment Day, and they're not going to get away with it. Not unless the Lord reveals himself unto them by a minister or a prophet or a preacher or teacher, and then they want to repent, the Lord will forgive them. And the same thing with people that do abortions. And the same thing with homosexuals. The Lord died for everybody, but you have to repent and come to the Lord for healing, to be cleansed. And then you have to quit. You have to let the Lord rule in your body, and it's for sure he's not going to let you or be a homosexual in you. He's not going to be an adulterer or a fornicator in you. He's not going to steal in you. In other words, you're going to have a brand new life. He's not going to lie or let you lie. If you lie, then you're going back into the world. It's just like in this world here. If you're a citizen of the United States and you sin or you commit a crime and they catch you, they take your passport away and they put you in prison because you're no longer a citizen. And if you're like from Italy or Mexico or someplace, and you're in this country, and you commit a crime, they won't let you live in the United States of America a lot of times, and they'll send you back to Italy. And they take your green card away from you, because you've lost all the privileges of being a citizen of the United States of America. Even though it's not the USA anymore, it happens to be a world government. They don't even like you to say that you're a United States citizen anymore, because it's a world government. Because they think these people that are one-worlders think that it's really going to solve, bring about peace and safety, but it keeps getting worse and worse. So their theory of bringing about peace and safety is not good. And by the way they're doing it, they're taking their citizenship, where if they got saved, or if you got saved and you start committing crimes again, you lose your citizenship papers to the kingdom of heaven. and you lose, you forfeit, you lose your passport to be able to travel there and to go in and out and wherever you please. You have citizenship papers when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You became a citizen because you're not sinning anymore, and there can't be anyone in the kingdom of heaven that sins. And so all your former sins are taken away. And in the event that you go along for a while, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 42 years like myself, and if I begin sinning again, my citizenship papers to the kingdom of heaven will be taken away from me. My passport to go there will be taken away from me. All privileges of the kingdom of heaven and the commonwealth of heaven will be taken away from me. And I will be lost. I will become a citizen again of this dark, cold world. And I will be on my way to the pit of hell, the lake of fire. And some people say, well, there's something here in this world that I just cherish so much that it's, I don't mind giving up my citizenship papers to heaven. I don't mind giving up my passport to heaven. There's just something in this world that's going, this world is going to burn, and I know it, but I just can't face giving up something of this stinking, dirty, filthy world. And so you forfeit. I know when I was put in the prison for the gospel, for preaching the gospel, they took my passport away. In other words, they wouldn't let me because they just because the government. Now, the government has sent over, just a very short period of time, over 100 people to their death, and they found out later that they were innocent. And they keep doing it all the time, and that's why everybody wants to do away with the death penalty, because they know that there have been so many people that have been killed. Prosecutors. Now, I know some prosecutors that are good guys, and they are, as far as I know, very fair. But there are some of them that are just looking to become judges, or they just want to step on people's souls and their lives and everything, and they criminalize them falsely, and their passports are taken away, and their papers to be able to vote. Now, I had talked to an attorney, one of my attorneys, the other day. He likes to come over and talk with us every so often. And there was nothing that I had to do with him as far as that. We were just visiting at one of our singings. And he told me, no, after you're out of prison and you paid all your debts to society and everything, you can still vote. You can start voting again. But in the kingdom of heaven, all your privileges are taken away if you sin. Because that's a crime against the blood of Jesus. You're stomping his blood underfoot and putting him out to open shame because you're saying you're a Christian and you're not because you're a sinner. And these people that stand up here, these preachers that say, well, God just loves you, and no matter if you, once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're sealed in and you can't fall away. Well, there's scriptures that say if you fall away, you're like a dog that's gone back to its vomit. And the people that are keep exalting, they say, or a sow that's gone back to its wallowing in the mire. And then there's people that say, you know, the Bible, the original Bible states that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. This is a great sign that God gives to us in this world. That just a virgin, because there's a lot of virgins, but the virgin. What does it say in the Spanish? One virgin, not any other virgin in the world, not any other virgin, but just one virgin shall conceive and bear. It doesn't say that she's deity. She's just a virgin. The only virgin on the face of this earth that would bear, would conceive and bear a son. And his name would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Amen?
Amen.
And, but now, through the work that Christ did on the cross, the Holy Spirit Christ can be born in your spirit. Now, you've got to get out of this world and get your citizenship papers and your passport to heaven. And you can't forfeit them. You've got to keep them. And you do that by disciplining yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And the way you start to do that is to say this prayer to the Lord. You say to him right now, with all your heart, say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood. All the blood went out of his body, that my former sins could be washed away in that precious blood that he offered up to the living Father in heaven and gave me freedom from the prison house of sin and taken me out of the citizenship of the dark world and has brought me into his marvelous light. I open the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I invite you into my heart. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me. I know you have answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." And now raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord for saving your soul now. And let me know, you know, because it encourages everybody at all the churches in the world that are associated with us, that another soul came in, and all the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now since you've given your heart to the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom of light, to the King of light. Praise the Lord. Now, Sharon, tell everybody how they can receive a copy of this program 221.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Well, praise the Lord, I'm so happy that you were able to be with us today. And I pray that you'll tune in tomorrow to part 120 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And also, that'll be tape number 222. And it's going to be a good one. You can be sure that you're going to hear the truth on this program. I'm so happy that you're now a citizen, if you've accepted the Lord, of the Kingdom of God, and a citizen of the Commonwealth of the Kingdom of Heaven. May God bless you real well. This is World Pastor Tony Lama saying, until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.